Players ready? Play. 15 Seed here for a special edition of the 15 Seed podcast, mainly because the podcast is moving in a somewhat different direction than I had anticipated. I suppose mainly because it wasn't overly planned to start with. I thought it would be solely a diary of my expectations and performances on tour in 2024. But I've received quite a number of emails, for which I'm thankful and grateful. It made me think more about the sport, and they're asking questions unrelated to my actual performance. So I've got a number of questions which I'll have to get back to people on regarding my mental approach to the game, favourite venues, practice partners, life off the court, in discussions and relationships with other players, managing injury, fatigue, all those sorts of things. But today's topic is, I was asked, who are the top 10 players of all time? And so to Sanjay, Rebecca and Paul, thanks for that. I'm not sure I'm the most qualified person to answer this, but I'll do my best. Now, I've actually done a bit of research on it, and I will say that I'll talk about men's singles players since the Open era, so since the mid-70s. So I'm not going back through history, so please read it with that in mind. And at some stage, I'd like to do the same things on the women's side, where I really probably need to do further research and refresh my memory as to players over the last 50 years or so. Given I consider Serena Williams to be one of the greatest athletes of all time, forget tennis, just one of the greatest athletes of all time, I'm sure she'll be head and shoulders number one, but it'll be interesting to see how I rank them after that with the Margaret Courts and the Billie Jean Kings. In respect to Billie Jean King, I recently read her book All In. Fascinating book. I highly recommend it. Don't read it, though, thinking you're going to get a tennis book of, you know, at four, you know, love up in the fourth set, I did this and I did that. It's actually a real social commentary. It's a long read, but a very good read, and I very much appreciated it, and appreciated her a whole lot more as well. Very complex, complicated, and amazing individual. Okay, so who are the top 10 players is in the modern era? As I said, these are my thoughts only. They're not a definitive view. I'm inviting comments of others and would be quite prepared to alter my views after I hear from other people who might have greater knowledge than I. I will also say that my criteria is heavily skewed towards Grand Slams and number one rankings, or lengths of number one rankings, and the total number of tournament wins. Those were the main sorts of factors that I took into account. I also have to, it's a half apology, because my top 10 is heavily biased towards players that are playing or have recently played. And, you know, I accept the criticism of recency, that we have, you know, the people who have played the most recent times foremost in your mind, and, you know, relegate past performances less or more than we should. But I just think it has been a remarkable era. And I just think we've had three of the greatest players of all time at the same time, and I just think we should be so incredibly grateful for having that. So I also have to, though, consider, when you're looking at the Nadals, Federers, Djokovic, is that in the, you know, recent past, players would be finished by 30, either physically or financially, their game would be at an end. I mean, these days now, 30 is just a number. We've got lots of players playing well into their mid, sometimes late 30s, and playing very high standard tennis in those later years, because we manage ourselves a whole lot better, prepare a whole lot better, equipment is a whole lot different. So I do have to consider that when making my assessments. But anyway, here we go. In my view, it is undeniable that Novak Djokovic is the greatest player of all time. His Grand Slam record demonstrates that. He played at the most challenging time. He's won across all surfaces. I look at him playing. He's got a great serve, but not the best serve on the tour. He's got a great forehand and backhand, but not the best forehand and backhand on the tour. He's, you know, moves exceptionally well, but probably he's not the best on the tour. But what he does have is everything he does is in that top highest echelon, and he has resilience and mental toughness and an ability to thrive in not only important matches, but in important matches when he's in trouble. The reality is Novak Djokovic is a superstar. You're back here with 15th seed, trying to rank the top 10 men's singles player of the Open era, and I've indicated that Novak Djokovic for me stands head and shoulders above the rest. Rafa Nadal is a superstar. He's won 20 Grand Slams. Half of those have been on the Roland Garros clay, but he's won multiple times on each of the other surfaces. And the way he played the game, the incredible intensity, the unwillingness to concede a point, the single-minded focus, the just physicality around everything that he did. Unbelievable. And for mine, given that his era coincided with Federer to start with and Djokovic to finish, along with the, more recently the likes of Sinner and Alcaraz, I think he's a deserved number two. At number three, it's where I started to have the issue and compare players of different eras, and this is where Roger Federer, Pete Sampras, Rod Laver all came into consideration. And I know that arguments can be mounted for each and every one of them, but I've gone with Federer. Again, 20 Grand Slams. Yeah, he's had that longevity. He was someone who came in and with style and grace changed the nature of the game. You know, when everybody else was starting to hit double-hand backhands, and like we had the classic backhand, and people just wanted to play like Roger Federer. And he used seemed to do everything with such ease. And sometimes that could be very deceiving. But 20 Grand Slams, playing into his 30, again in an incredible, difficult era. I've placed him at number three. Number four, Pete Sampras, a superstar. Before we'd even heard of the Nadals and the Djokovic's of this world, he stood tall. He is the epitome of the modern power player with great athleticism, this huge big forehand that he could just use to turn a match. There was not a player on the circuit at the time who was confident that they'd ever break his serve, and consequently that put pressure on their own serves. It's almost a shame that he couldn't have gone on longer, because he retired relatively early compared to what we're seeing in the modern era. Whether his style of game would have allowed that or enabled that, I don't know. But I just think the way he was able to dominate an era, put all manner of opponents it's away with such power, he, for me, steps in at number number five. So then the sixth player, Rod Laver. And this is the one that I feel that I will be most criticised for. It's not Rod Laver's fault that he straddled the amateur and professional era. It's not Rod Laver's fault that three of the tournaments, Grand Slam tournaments, were on grass. When you look at the way he played, we compare it with the modern day where the rackets are so different, the balls are different, the manner of preparation is different, and it was a different game. Yet in that era, he was able to dominate everybody else. I mean, the best player is the best player at the time relative to everybody else, and he stood tall above them. I'm sure that there will be people who will argue, and I couldn't mount strong arguments against other than to repeat my views, that have Rod Laver at number one. So, as I said, I invite your comments. And after this break, we'll come back and we'll talk about who'll make up the balance of the 15 seed top 10 players of all time. You're back here with the 15 seed, ranking the top 10 male singles tennis players of the Open era. And to date, I've gone with Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, then Sampras and Laver. And if you think that was hard to pick the first five, I think it's actually more difficult to then select the next five and put them in any semblance of order. I have, I say, been influenced by the number of match wins, and particularly Grand Slam wins. And the next three who have grouped together have all won half a dozen Grand Slams plus. So they've performed on the biggest stage. I've gone at number six for Jimmy Connors. I think Jimmy Connors was somebody who came, was young, he was brash, he was his own person, left-hander, his own Wilson metal racket. He was not there to be liked, he was there to be respected, and he was a tough, hard competitor. And he became a winning machine and would churn out match after match. And I think he dominated his era in a way that I think you could elevate him happily to six, and perhaps some might even put him higher than six. I think the fact that he won about half a dozen Grand Slams only, compared to others who are, you know, dozens plus, probably put him just in the second echelon, but still a wonderful, wonderful player. So I've gone with Jimmy Connors at six. Gone with Ivan Lendl at seven. Again, there are times that you thought Ivan Lendl was going to dominate the world, win everything in sight. But I'm not sure his Grand Slam record ultimately matched up to the others around him. I mean, we're still talking top 10 of all time, so it's, it's pretty high standard we're looking at. But I think sometimes there were players or matches or tournaments that he found difficult to beat or win. And even though he's finished with half a dozen plus Grand Slam titles, he was also someone who was beatable at certain times. So I've slotted him in at number seven. Number eight is Andre Agassi. Halfway through Andre Agassi's career, he finished up not being able to win a match, going back to the challenges and having to reinvent himself. And indeed, the second half of his career is probably matches or even better than his first part of his career. But he really, as I said, had two separate careers in both occasions where he was able to reach the highest of the highs. So with multiple Grand Slam wins, on different surfaces and didn't always play events, seemed to have find issues with tournaments and the like. You've got to remember that Andre Agassi is now seen as the statesman of the game, was a little brash bad boy for some of his time. So again, I said I enjoyed the Billie Jean King autobiography. I would also recommend the biography on Andre Agassi. It's a great read and great insight. So for 6, 7, 8, I've gone for Connors, Lendl and Agassi. Well, today we've ranked the top 8 15 seed selections in the men's singles all-time top 10 in the Open era, and there are two places to go, and I've given them to two players who played together and had a fantastic rivalry in Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe. Their matches at Wimbledon are legendary. Two players with absolutely contrasting styles and personalities who captured the imagination of the public, and not necessarily just the tennis public. And it's not just their matches against each other. When you look at their records and the number of wins that they achieved at other events, they are very worthy to be top 10 of all time. I was interested to actually read the various histories of McEnroe and Borg, because I'd always presumed that McEnroe would have finished at the end of his career with what I would consider to be a better record. But in fact, I was persuaded that Bjorn Borg's record was in fact the one of a slightly higher calibre. So I've gone Borg 9 and McEnroe 10. So just to recap, Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, Sampras, Laver, Connors, Lendl, Agassi, Borg and McEnroe. As I've said, I don't claim to be expert. I have done some research to come up with that list, but I'd be very interested to hear other people's views. So if you want to respond to via the email address, I'd be happy to consider any thoughts that you might have, because there will be people out there talking about, you know, what about the Scandinavians? What about the Valanders and Edbergs? What about some Europeans? Where are the French? Where's Boris Becker? Even some of the Australians who have left out, that Rosewell and Newcomb were in the modern era. But, you know, if there's no French, German, British, Russian, South American players, is this really a balanced selection? So as I've said, these are just my thoughts. I'm happy to receive other thoughts and to reconsider my position. But until that time, thank you, ball people. Thank you, Hawkeye.